620. This is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. U.S. Senator John Cornyn was in North Texas this afternoon and toured a federal prison outside of Dallas. It's part of his efforts to promote a prison reform bill he introduced earlier this week. As KERA's Miguel Perez reports, Cornyn says the legislation's goal is to reduce recidivism.
Among other things, the Bipartisan First Step Act would give the Bureau of Prisons $50 million a year for 5 years to improve programs for inmates. The bill is being praised by some advocates, but opponents say it should also lower mandatory minimum sentences.
Some of the things that I heard here that are being done in Texas have given me some encouragement that there are things we can add to the prison reform bill that would enjoy broad bipartisan support and help us build the consensus. And I'm not afraid of having that debate on sentencing.
Jared Kushner, advisor and son-in-law to President Trump, was originally scheduled to join the tour but was not present. Still, Cornyn says support of a high-profile official like Kushner is a game-changer in getting the First Step Act passed. For KERA News, I'm Miguel Perez.
Tonight, the two remaining candidates vying to be the Democrats' nominee for governor will have their only debate. Former Dallas County Sheriff Lupe Valdez came under fire this week from Governor Greg Abbott's re-election campaign. But KUT's Ben Philpott says that may be an effort to raise her profile because Abbott would rather run against her than Andrew White.
I think the calculus that the Abbott campaign is making is that they would have more success against Lupe Valdez than Andrew White. They see her as someone who they can very easily lay that way too liberal for Texas label on. Also, she is someone who has had some stumbles on the campaign trail. She had a poor showing with the Dallas Morning News editorial board. They gave their endorsement to Andrew White because, as they said, it appeared that Lupe Valdez did not have a great grasp of major parts of state government, like the budget process or school finance. And of course, Greg Abbott would love to end up debating and campaigning against someone who he can show he has a better grasp of those issues than they do.
That was Ben Philpott with KUT in Austin. For more than 50 years, Paul Simon has dazzled fans with songs like The Sound of Silence, Bridge Over Troubled Water, and Graceland. Veteran music critic Robert Hilburn's new biography of the Rock and Rock Hall of Fame documents Simon's evolution as a songwriter and performer since the Simon and Garfunkel years. Today on Think, Hilburn talked with Chris Boyd about Simon's decades-long career.
His songwriting, which almost unprecedented, has stayed at a top level from 1963 till today. Most of the thousands of people who make records are only good. You know, they kind of copy what's around, but there's a few, maybe 10, 20, 30 people who are great, great artists. Joni Mitchell, Bob Dylan. We've all seen over the years all the great songwriters from the 60s and early 70s. Most of them have dropped off. They've lost either their interest or their drive or their talent somewhere along the line, and Paul saw that early. He saw what fame did to Elvis Presley, and he's worked hard at maintaining that music is more important than anything else, more important than fame, and he survived.
Robert Hilburn's new book is called Paul Simon, The Life. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. Scientists can now prove that practicing an instrument really is good for you. Dr. Mark Goldberg is the chair of neurology and neurotherapeutics at UT Southwestern's Peter O'Donnell Brain Institute. For our weekly State of the Arts conversation, he talks with Art and Seek's Anne Bothwell about curating an afternoon of cutting-edge science on Saturday called Music and the Brain.
Dr. Mark Goldberg, welcome to KERA.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
In your position at UT Southwestern, you're interested in all sorts of treatments for brain disease and brain injury. Where does music fit in?
Our studies of brain science allow us to see inside the human brain while we are listening to music, while we're appreciating music, and this gives us a chance for the first time to really understand how music shapes our lives. And of course, music is therapy, so understanding better how we can harness the power of music to help people heal is a challenge for us at the Peter O'Donnell Brain Institute.
The theme this year is music expands the mind of a child, and we've all known that studying an instrument as a child has many benefits, but researchers are just now proving that music training actually can change the structure of the brain. Can you explain that a little bit?
One of our visitors is Dr. Asal Habibi, who comes from Los Angeles, and she's had the opportunity to study a very talented youth group in which small children, young children, ages 6 to 8, are given intensive musical training, and they perform as a symphony. She had a chance to study those kids before and 2 years after training, and she found exactly what you said, that the musical training specifically enhanced and grew the areas of the brain which were responsible for auditory perception, for listening, for making sense of what you hear, and it also grew the connections between these areas. So this is the first proof that musical training really does change your brain when you're young.
And aren't they using the results of those studies to kind of show that community music programs can offset even things like living in poverty and the issues that that can cause?
That's exactly what the lesson is. This is a group of children who come from underprivileged neighborhoods, and they get this opportunity. And it's been long known that the kids who enroll in this program in our country and other countries have done well. But it wasn't shown until now maybe how that could be occurring and how it does change their brains in a positive way.
One of your guests created what he calls a Google Earth for the brain, and he's turned it into kind of a planetarium-style show.
Dr. Jonathan Fisher from New York takes beautiful scientific data, which is honestly beautiful only to us as scientists, and he turns it into art and music. He puts the images of brain neurons at the smallest possible level and of the whole brain at the largest level and seeing how the circuits work, puts that to music, and he gives it an artistic appreciation. He shows this in places where people, not scientists, can interact with the science and really travel into the brain and see how it works.
And why is that important? Why should we understand more or be able to visualize what's going on in our brains?
I think it's important that we see science as fun. So this does that, and it makes us appreciate not just the value of the science and medicine we do for healing, but also the just intrinsic joy of understanding how things work. And I love to see how people who are not scientists get a chance to interact with things which we consider beautiful.
So much of this research is focusing on things that I think we've always intuitively known, but we haven't been able to prove. For example, one of the researchers has really proven how music triggers pleasure in our brains.
Dr. Robert Zatori from Montreal is one of the world's foremost experts on what's called music cognition, how our brain processes music. And in his laboratory, he studied how we perceive pitch, why there are people who can't tell one note from another, and how we perceive and enjoy music. Because we have now such advanced MRI techniques, we can observe the human brain while people are listening to music, and we can see that in order to really derive pleasure from music, we need two things. We need some experience and knowledge of what the music is and what's coming, and we need our reward centers of the brain to say, this is fun, this is pleasurable. And this seems to be a universal human experience. Even me, as a non-musician, can experience the pleasure of listening to music. And we do that through pathways that Dr. Zatori has worked out.
Dr. Mark Goldberg, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Soluna Music Festival's Music and Brain is Saturday at Moody Performance Hall. Find details at artandseek.org. In the weather, clear skies today across North Texas. Tonight, cloudy with lows in the lower 70s. This weekend, it's going to be sunny and hot with highs in the low 90s. Right now, it's 88 degrees in Dallas and 89 degrees in Fort Worth. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.